And so may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Some high notes though, aren't there? So the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, and this is a wonderful day for the church. Pentecost is sort of like the third major festival, Christmas, Easter, and or Easter, Christmas, and Pentecost. This is big. It's the time we remember the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit being given to the church, to each one of us. There was a lovely article in the Church Times this week. It was about a descendant of an army chaplain who died in World War I, seeing as we're all talking about war things at the moment. And this chap was a chaplain in the war, and he's called Maurice Peel, and he was a vicar of St. Edith's Church in Tamworth, and he served in the trenches. And what he would do, he'd go over the top, and he was carrying a walking stick, apparently. He must have had a limp or something. And he was the grandson of Prime Minister Sir Robert Peel. That's the one who did the police force. Remember, policemen, they were called Peelers after him. And after being shot once, he chose to return to the front lines. And he was killed by a sniper while trying to reach a soldier in no man's land. And his great-grandson, the Reverend David Lodge, said he must have felt an overwhelming calling to return to the Western Front a second time. Well, incredible, isn't it? These people who did these kinds of things, who do these kinds of things, are amazing people, aren't they? And you'd say, Holy Spirit. The man was possessed of the Holy Spirit, that he was able to be so self-sacrificial, go and care for others in the trenches. As a vicar, he went over there and he did amazing things. And that's what Pentecost is all about. It's remembering people who, inspired by the Holy Spirit, do amazing things. Because in the Bible, it tells us that if you say that Jesus is Lord, if you say Jesus is Lord in your heart, then you have the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals that to you. It's the Holy Spirit who enables each one of us to have faith and to believe. So the Holy Spirit isn't just for these amazing acts of wonderful bravery and courage. The Holy Spirit is something that's in the church every day. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do things for God. It enables us to be God's people. And the Holy Spirit inspires people to move chairs just after the service, just as he inspires people to go over the trenches and rescue people. Yeah? That's what it's all about. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's why Pentecost is a fabulous time, because it reminds us that we all have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been given to the whole church, everybody, not just the Mother Teresa's of this world. And it's often called, Pentecost is often called the birthday of the church, the birthday. So we're just going to spend a few moments thinking about why is it called a birthday. And to understand it, you have to understand a little bit of theology, but only a little bit. So bear with me. What does the word Pentecost mean? Pentecost. Pente-Greek. Greek. Sorry? Yeah, you see, you've got teachers here. Got teachers here, so they know all these things, don't they? Yeah, it's Pente, 50th. It's and Pentecost occurs 7 weeks after Passover. So we've had, since Easter, we've had the 50 days, okay? So Pentecost occurs. Now, Christians are very good at printing other people's festivals, aren't they? And that's what we did on this one. It was a Jewish festival, Pentecost, and that's why they were all in Jerusalem in Acts. It was a Jewish festival. It was when they had the harvest, the wheat harvest. It was called the Feast of the Harvest, the Feast of Weeks. You can read in Leviticus 23. Pilgrims all came to Jerusalem to celebrate this special time. And it was special because this was a time when they remembered that the law had been given to Moses on Sinai. The law given to Moses on Sinai. Pentecost, the special festival, the Jewish festival. So what you have is, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, God rescues them through the Exodus, and then he gives them the law. And what in Acts it's telling us is there's a new way of seeing things. Instead of having the Old Testament, you've now got the new covenant with Jesus. And instead of having the Exodus, you have the cross and the resurrection. And instead of the giving of the law, you've got the giving of the Holy Spirit. Do you see the parallel going through? So you did have Jewish people now you've got the new everyone. And this plays big thing about this in Acts, about how it's all these different countries, and Warwick did really, really well getting them all right. All these countries coming together. So it's not just for the Jewish people, it's for all, everybody, everyone. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, you're all in it. Everyone's in it. And then instead of the Exodus, God taking a few people through and rescuing them, everybody's rescued through the death of Christ. And instead of having the Old Testament law given to Moses on Mount Sinai for the Jewish people, you've now got the Holy Spirit poured out on all of humankind. And that's why it's the birthday of the church, because a new faith is born. A new religion is around. A new covenant. And do you remember the words from Jeremiah about, I'll write the law on their hearts in the new covenant. This is the last days. Now, this is the change. This is the change that everyone's been waiting for. And so in Acts, Peter gets up and he starts talking about, you know, a new way of doing things. He quotes Joel, this passage from Joel that everybody would have remembered. So it's a special day. And the church remembered this special day and talked about it in the same way as they had talked about Sinai. If you read Genesis and you read the passage where the law is given to Moses, it says that there was a great sound like a trumpet. And it says that there was fire. So now in Acts, in the recounting of the giving of the Holy Spirit, they want to do the same thing. So they say there was a loud noise like a big wind. And there was something like fire. It doesn't say it was fire. It doesn't say it was wind. It just says like. And the point that's being made here is that it's not real fire. It's not real wind. But there's some great significance. God was around. God was around. And a tremendous thing happened. Just like it happened at Sinai. But there's no law given. It's the Spirit that's given. So it's using poetic speech. Poetic speech to give something deep significance. And that's why we hear that the disciples now speak in different languages, because people are being brought together. There's a unifying. Remember, the word devil means to divide, so the Holy Spirit brings people together. And all these nations speaking as one. And the apostles being able to communicate God's word to all different people. It's a new time. And so Peter stands up and he quotes these words from Joel, where Joel the prophet said, in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh. Everyone will have the Holy Spirit. It won't just be a few chosen individuals. It'll be everybody. God's Spirit will be open to everybody. And it's a really inclusive message. So that the new community involves everybody. Not just the Israelites. Not just the Jewish people. It includes everybody. And he goes on to remind them of what this new community that they're starting up is going to be like. The community that we're in. It says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. So this new community is a place where age is no barrier. Young people can be involved and included. This is exciting news. You know, they won't just walk around with headphones on anymore. They'll speak words of truth. Young people will be included in this wonderful new community. Age is no barrier. And then it says, your old men shall dream dreams. Old men dreaming dreams. Yes, old people included too. They're no longer going to live in the past telling us how good it used to be. They're going to have dreams. They're going to have visions. They're going to think how wonderful the future can be. Not looking backwards, but looking forwards. This is a fantastic community. This is the kind of thing we want to belong to. And then it says that even males and females will be included, so gender's not going to be a barrier. Everyone's going to be in this. And then it says even slaves can be included. That means poor people. It's for everybody. This new community is for everybody. What a birthday it is. God's new creation, God's new covenant people. No barriers, no social barriers, no nothing. It's for everybody. And that's what John's trying to say in his writing, in the gospel reading, where Jesus is in the room and Jesus appears. And you remember that they're behind locked doors. And we have this symbolism of the locked doors, which we read a little while ago, and how the disciples are changed because Jesus comes in and he meets with them and he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit and they're transformed from a bunch of of really disappointing individuals to be something really excited. And it's all about change and newness. They're transformed. Chuck Colson, who was involved in the Watergate scandal, said he knows the disciples' story of Easter has to be true because he knows how hard it is to get 12 people to stick to the same lie. I think the change that took place in the disciples as a result of Pentecost, as a result of this wonderful new experience, the change that took place is compelling evidence that the Holy Spirit was at work, as is the renewal of God's people today. And that's really the point about Pentecost. It's not something that we remember that happened a long time ago. Every year we celebrate Pentecost because we remember the presence of the Spirit with us day by day. We're part of God's new way of doing things, part of God's new creation. And you and I are empowered through the Holy Spirit to do things differently, to be a different people because the Spirit is with us. We're going to move now in the church's calendar into ordinary time. And ordinary time is wonderful because it means it's summer and it's nice. But the good thing about ordinary time is it's all about the teachings of Jesus. And as we go through the next weeks, as we go all the way through practically to Advent in ordinary time, we remember Christ's teachings and how we're supposed to live differently. And we'll do that not because we're going to try really hard, but because we believe God's Spirit is with us, empowering us, enabling us, strengthening us when we are weak and can't do it ourselves. So as we go into ordinary Sunday, we always got to have a mind on Pentecost. God's Spirit is with us, enabling us to do this. And we'll see God's Spirit at work in one another as we do amazing things and as we do ordinary things, because it's the Spirit that just sustains us and gives us life. There's a wonderful piece in the Narnia Tales by C.S. Lewis. And you probably remember that in the magical land of Narnia, God appears in the form of a great and mysterious lion called Aslan. And one of the children who stumbles into Narnia and encountered the lions wonders, is Aslan safe? Do any of you remember this little passage? Is Aslan safe? Safe, a resident of Narnia replies. Do you remember what they replied? Anyone who's read it? No, my dear, Aslan is not safe, but he is good. Aslan is not safe, but he is good. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to rearrange us, to shake us, to challenge us, not to be safe, but to unsettle us, to help us to think differently, to move us out of our old ways into new ways, to enable us to expect great things, and through God's Spirit, to achieve great things. Amen.